you guys doing? We are starting a brand new series this week, a brand new series, and it's called Antenna. Antenna. For those of you who know what an antenna is, do you remember a time when you were younger and you had a TV that some of you don't know, you're not old enough, but there was TVs that were these box TVs. I think I have a picture of a TV I found that was like my first TV when I was a kid. Do you have that? Look at that. Look at it. Now that's a real TV, and that was a big screen TV. It was 9 inches in size, kind of like this, except it was a round tube. And what would happen would be we had this thing at our house, and our dad would be about where Becky is sitting, and he'd say, "Son, go over there." And I'd say, "Yeah, yeah, Dad." And he'd say, "Okay, now go this way. Turn." And we would spend our time messing with this, you know, because we wanted to get a good signal. Now, for those of you who are younger, you have cable TV or whatever it is you have. It's really kind of funny because if we have it a little bit fuzzy on our cable for like 2 seconds, we start freaking out. Let's call the cable company. But you have to realize that there was a time when the picture was all fuzzy. It was really fuzzy. You couldn't see anything. And you would spend your time as a kid holding these up. And then my dad, I don't know how he didn't become rich, but he designed something to help to get a better picture. He designed this thing called tinfoil. I guess he didn't design it. But he figured out that by putting the tin foil on the end of the thing, something's happening. You're starting to get a signal. There's something here, and man, maybe we can get a great picture here if we do this like that. And so here we are with this tin foil in place, and we're just trying to get a clear picture of what we're looking at. And do you know what happens? Sometimes we do this with God. Sometimes we want a clear picture of what God's will is for our lives. And we do go through all the motions, try to do all these different things to try to keep the picture good and try to get a good picture. And then my dad developed this thing. When all else fails, do you know what you do? How's it look now, Judy? How's the picture look now? And we think somehow we can beat it into submission and eventually get a clear picture. Now, a long time ago, we were real excited about this because we had 3 channels to choose from. ABC, CBS, NBC kind of thing. And so we would just all day mess around with this fuzzy picture. And now we see in life, we talk about sometimes we try to work with this to try to get a clear picture of what God is wanting to do in our lives. Sometimes we try to beat him into submission. Come on, God, you got to show me. You got to tell me now. Well, in this series, we're going to talk about what are the steps you and I could take to hear God's will for our lives. Hear God's will for our lives. I'm excited to hear it myself because we're writing it right now as we're going through it. And it's really kind of amazing to me because we are always spending our time trying to get a clear picture of what God's will is for our lives. And it starts from a very young age. A child graduates from kindergarten, maybe 5 years old. And you know what people say to this little kid, this little boy or little girl? What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. I'm 5 years old. I mean, what's God? They could be saying, what's God's will for your life, little Johnny, little Sally? How do I know? I'm going to be an astronaut. Where she says, I'm going to be a ballerina Or he says, I'm going to be a ballerina. And she says, I'm going to be an ad. However you want to say it. But you know what I mean, right? It's one of these things like, how do we know? And then you grow up a little bit. You go to high school and college. And well, what are you going to do for a living? They're not sure yet. And so, well, where are you going to live? Where are you going to work? And all these questions start coming at you. And I hate to tell you this, but the older you get, the more questions that there are. And they keep coming at us. And we start thinking, well, where do you want to work? I want to work at Walgreens. That's what I want to do. I want to work at Walgreens. That's my goal, that God wants me to do that. And that might be true. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know. And then people start asking other questions. Well, should I take that job or should I quit that job? Should I start my own business or should I sell my business? Who are you going to marry? How many kids are you going to have? I mean, when I get married, should I move in with my in-laws? The answer is no to that one. I can tell you that right. I'll tell you that right off the bat. But see, the thing is, the decisions keep on coming. And the question is, not really, what are you going to do with your life? The question is that I want us to really focus on is, what is God's will for our lives? Because if we can figure out what God's will for our life is, that's what we want to do in our lives. Because God's will is perfect. So how do you know God's will for your life? I mean, we all know that sometimes we believe like God is speaking to us. And the question becomes there, is that God? God, is that you telling me this? Or is it like bad Chinese food I had last night? You know, that kind of thing. How do I know which one? And people really battle with this. They really want to know. I mean, who wouldn't want to know what God wants for our lives? We all do. Even if we're not that strong a Christian or a believer, we know, okay, if it's God, if it's coming from God, even though I say I'm not really sure about it, I want to know what it is. I want to know what it is. So people find themselves turning to all different things to find out the will of God, but they may not say that in their lives. They turn to all kinds of things. How many people do you know that first thing they do in the morning, after having a cup of coffee, is opening up the newspaper and looking at the horoscopes? They want to read the horoscope to see what it says. Well, let's see, here's my birthday, what does it say? And then they make decisions based on the horoscope. And that's horror, completely. That's a good name for it. How many times do we hear about people calling the psychic hotline? You ever hear of the psychic hotline? Here's what I can tell you. I'm a prophet. I'll tell you this. I'm not really. But I'll do a little prophecy for you. If you call the psychic hotline, here's what I'll guarantee you. You're going to lose $2.99 a minute if you do it. If you call me, you'll save your money, and I won't charge you anything. You see, those things are the things people look at for answers to life's problems. The psychic hotline thing, we think that's really kind of crazy. Who would ever do that? And what you have to know is that the funny thing about that, that this year they say the psychic hotline is a growing $2 billion plan. People that are doing that, they make $2 billion a year. Wow. That's a lot of money. So you think you could stay away from all of that. Last Sunday, we went for Chinese food. We went out for Chinese food, and they brought me this fortune cookie. And I had my orange chicken, and I was eating that. And then they brought this fortune cookie, and I opened it up, and it said that wasn't chicken on the fortune cookie. And I said, no, wait a minute, that's not right. And then I looked at it, and it said, you're going to have great joy and hope for the future. And then they brought me the bill, and I knew that horoscope was wrong because the bill was like $50 billion. for some orange chicken. The truth of the matter is that there are all these things that kind of fight for our time, fight for our mind share. There are a lot of things out there that will lead us to believe this is the path I'm supposed to be on. And when we have to really slow down for a minute and begin to focus on what are the things of God that He has created to show us His will for our lives. Now, the first question that most people have is, does God really want us to know His will for our lives? Does He really want us to know that? And the answer to that is pretty simple. I don't know of any dads, any fathers, who doesn't want their children to know their will. They're not very quiet about it. And so today when we begin, this is like the beginning of this five-part series. And here's what I want you to know. And I want you to spread the word to everybody if you can. You don't want to miss one message. You don't want to miss one message of the five messages, because they're being written in a way where they all intertwine. And if you miss one, you might miss one way that God reveals things to us, and you might miss it that week if you don't make it. So come and be a part with that, because this whole series is built in a way that it'll all make sense as we go through it. And today is just the introduction. So I want to put in front of you as we begin three foundations to understanding God's will. Excuse me. Three foundations to understanding God's will. And here's the first one. God's will can be found. God's will can be found. It can be something that we know. It could be something that we can have in our lives. We sing a song here every once in a while called Good, Good Father. And I love that song, because this song is really telling us that we have a good Father who's in heaven, who knows our name. He knows your name. So what good father wouldn't want his kids to hear from him? Or he wouldn't want us to follow what he wants us to do? Why wouldn't he not want to speak into my life, speak into your life, and know what God's direction is for us? David, we've been looking at David for weeks. In Psalms 143, David, who was a man after God's own heart, prays this. Psalms 143:10. He says, "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Now here's what I know for sure, that David would never pray for God to show his will to David if God didn't do that. So David was asking God, "Show me your will for my life." The Apostle Paul says it this way. It's in Colossians 1:9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of" what? "His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Paul prays for the church. He wants the church to know and understand God's will. Because, listen, the church that's not operating in the ways of God is not a church. Because we're here to walk in God's will. We're here to follow His leading. Jesus Himself talks about God's will. He talks about this in a prayer that we all know. Even if you're, no matter what denomination you came from, as a kid, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And so for many years, I grew up, and man, I knew some prayers like the back of my hand. For those of you who don't, who've never been in a Catholic church or brought up that way, let me tell you, I didn't know much, but what I did know, man, I knew it. I knew it. And then there was this thing called the Lord's Prayer. And here's what it says, Matthew 6:10. Here's part of it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus would have us pray that God's will would be done. Well, the thing that we have to realize is that for God's will to be done, we would have to know what God's will is. Because God works through you and I. He works through all of us. Hi, Steve. He works through all of us all the time. And so if we don't know, we're just shooting blanks or something, shooting in the air, or trying to figure something out. So here's a point in your notes. God wants you to know His will more than you want to know it. God's will can be found. It can be known. And here's the second truth. God's will is good. Well, everybody knows that. We all know God's will can be good. But what happens when God's will is different than what you want? Well, wait a minute. Maybe God's will is good, but maybe my way is better. And it's not that way. See, the whole thing around knowing God's will is that God wants the best for us. He wants His perfect will for us. And so people are afraid to accept Christ because here's what I know about people who are Christians like you. The only thing that you guys do is follow rules all the time. You can't do anything fun anymore. Can't have fun anymore. You're a Christian now. You can't have fun anymore. I talked to Pastor Andy, and he says fun's not allowed. This is church. Can't have fun anymore. And the question I always ask myself is when people think that about us, I always think, who do you think created fun? Who's the creator of fun? Who wants joy in our lives? God does. He's the one that wants us to be joyful. Now, maybe our idea is a little different than what God's is, but He's not come to be a killjoy. He's not here like He's not here like your parents when you were younger and you were trying to do something that was not right, and He said, go to your room. God doesn't say, go to your room. God says, whatever you decide to do, there's always consequences to what you do. So you can do it my way or do it your way, but you pick. And sometimes we pick it our way, right? We pick our way. But the point of the matter is, God's will can be found. It can be known. In Romans 12:2, it says this, and this is really important. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His pleasing and perfect will. Listen, if I'm dealing with will in my life, I want it to be perfect. And I want it to be pleasing to God. Now, some of you who are listening, maybe you're listening from home, and you find yourself in this awkward position because, I have a grandson, and I talk about him once in a while. And when he first became a man at 18 years old, he wasn't quite to the place yet where he knows everything. He was getting there. He wasn't 19 yet. So he was just kind of moving into that, I know just about everything at this point. But he would come to me and say, Grandpa, I need some advice. I'm looking to do this and I'm looking to do that. And I'd say, well, don't do that. And we'd talk about it and talk about it. And then I realized he stopped coming to me. And so then he changed a little bit and started coming to me again, But when he would come to me now, he already had done what he was going to do, and he was asking me, how do I get out of this, right? So my question to him was, his name was Jeffrey, or is Jeffrey. I said, Jeffrey, why didn't you come to me before you did this? You know what he said? I knew what you were going to say. I already knew what you were going to say, and I didn't want to hear it because I knew this was the right thing. Because, you see, sometimes what happens is people like all of us, we're the old people that don't know anything. To someone who's 15, even the young lady sitting back there, you're old compared to someone who's 15, 16 years old. And so you guys don't know anything. And sometimes we do that with God. Maybe you're not getting the whole picture. Here's what you can know about God's will. It's a point in your notes. God's will always leads your best life. It always leads you to your best life. If you and I can learn how to live in God's will, we will be joy-filled. And even when those trials and those storms and those challenges come our way, we'll be able to deal with it because we know God is with us and we're going the right path. So let me ask you a question. Is sin fun? Do you guys think sin is fun? You better believe it's fun. Sin is fun. I love sin for about that much time. And then you realize that sin leads to destruction. But sin is fun for a few minutes. Look, if you're here, if you're watching from home, and you don't think sin is fun, you're not doing it right. But the truth is that sometimes things that feel really fun for a moment brings us joy and peace that we care about. See, the destination that God has for you is better than anything you can imagine. That's a point in your notes, too. It's better than anything you can imagine. So God's will can be found. And God's will is good. And here's the third foundation. And I want you to really remember these things because this is going to be what the rest of the series is built on. Here's the third one. God's will is talked about three different ways in scriptures. Three different ways in scriptures. And the Bible shows us these three different ways that God's will can be known. And I want you to understand this because we're going to spend a lot of time on these three different ways because this is the bedrock of God's will in our lives. So here's one way. Here's the first way God's will is used in the Bible. It's called God's providential will. Providential, that's a nice word, right? There it is if you don't know how to spell it. We'll leave it up there for a minute. God's providential will. And here's what that means. This means that there are certain things God is going to do no matter what. Whether we like it or not, whether you and I come against it or not, God's will be done. That's God's providential will. It doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. You see, God is going to do it, and you can't stop it. Not that we would want to, but even if you wanted to, God's going to make this thing happen. You know, in my message here, I'm going to tell you that God has this providential will, and he wants to use people to do this. And if God gives us the opportunity to do something that's in his providential will, and we don't do it, he'll say, okay, forget it, I'll get someone else to do it. And we miss the blessings of God because we are not walking completely in what he wants. Galatians 4:4 says this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, God's providential will. God sent a message to Mary. Mary, I want to have the Son of Man. I want Jesus to be born through you. Whether you like it or not. Didn't say that. But Mary said, "What your will be done." And so that's what happened. But you see, if Mary would have said, count me out, something else would have happened. Because Jesus was coming. He was going to be born. He was going to be crucified. He was dying for our sins. And no one or nothing was going to stop that, because that was God's providential will. Here's a bullet point. Because throughout scriptures, God often used people to accomplish his providential will. He often used people. He did this with Abraham. He did it with David, Nehemiah. And the best example is the one that we just used, talking about Mary, that Jesus was coming into the world, and it was going to happen. Here's another point. I don't know if I put this in your notes or not, but here's something you could write down if I didn't. If you don't know what God's already up to, you might miss what he wants for you. Did I put that in your notes? Okay, it is in there. See, if we don't know what God is up to, we just might miss what God wants to do in our lives. So we have to be people who really focus, what is God's providential will? Here's the second way God's will can be known. It's the moral will of God. The moral will of God. I'm talking about it's God's principles. He gives us for right and wrong. He tells us what's right and wrong. I mean, a person doesn't have to pray, is it okay for me to lie a little? He don't have to pray that. Because we know God doesn't want us to lie. Is it okay for me to steal? Well, no, it's not okay for you to steal. I mean, God says not to do that. God is a forgiving God. When we, if we lied, if we stole, if we did those things, we went to him. He forgave us of our sins, all of them. But it's not something that God wants us to walk in. It's not a principle he wants us to live by. You don't have to pray about those things. You don't have to pray about whether it's okay to do something that's reserved for marriage. Don't have to pray about that. We know. We have to look at these things. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in what that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the pagans who do not know God. Listen, what I just said is not popular, because there are tons of people who are not doing that. They're not walking that way. And is God a killjoy? Is he trying to take fun away? No, God created these things. He created this with a purpose. I mean, when some of you drove here today, you drove down a road that had a sign up that said 25 miles an hour. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you went faster than that? Now I'm not going to tell you what I did. But listen, so we have this, and we think, well, it's okay, because even though we're supposed to go 25, if I go 28, or if I go 35, If I'm careful, is it okay? Is it okay? Michelle says no. But it's true. It's like, really? Here's a point in your notes. God's moral will is much clearer than we often admit. We know God's will. Sometimes we like to play a little dumb. You know what I mean by that? Oh, I didn't know it. If I get pulled over, and I don't ever get pulled over, but if I ever get pulled over on the road, it's like, I didn't know how fast was I. Was I really going that fast? I have to check my speedometer out. Maybe there was something wrong with it. You know, that kind of thing. But it's very clear. It's like the sign that's posted. This is what you're supposed to do. And God does that. So you see, our providential will, the things that God is going to do, whether we like it or not, can be known. The moral will certainly can be known, because we can read the word and see the thou not, thou shall not, the things that we're not supposed to do, the things that we can't do. And then there's the third will, and this is the good one. It's the personal will of God. The personal will of God. Now, here's what I'm talking about. It's a point in your notes. It is the direction God wants for your life. Now, I'm going to just ask you a question and just kind of think of the answer yourself. Out of the three wills, God's providential will, God's moral will, and God's personal will for your life, which one of those is most important to you? Now, if you're like me, let me answer. If you're like me, it's God's personal will. I mean, here's what most people say. God's providential will, okay, that's important, yeah. God's moral will, okay, all right. But God's personal will for my life, what he wants me to do today, what he wants me to do tomorrow, I want to know that. Because I want to walk in God's personal will. So you get up in the morning and you wake up, and on a daily basis you find yourself waking up and asking questions. Maybe your questions are, should I stay at my job or should I quit? What should I do concerning this problem that's been keeping me awake all night? What should I do? Should I get married or not? Should I have kids or not? The Apostle Paul often writes, he writes this, he says, you know, he talks about how he felt God's will was working in his life, what he was going to do. In Proverbs chapter 3, that we're starting to move towards talking about the wisest man who ever lived. Do you know who that was? Solomon, right? His name was Solomon. And Solomon was David's son. So David had a son, Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, except he had a son and he named him Rehoboam. Why he did that? That wasn't very wise, if you ask me. But he named him Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the name of Solomon's son. So Solomon was the leader. And here he is, and look at what it says in Proverbs 3:6. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's how it says it in the New Living Translation. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I like that. Do me a favor. Can you read that with me? On three, ready? One, two, three. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Doesn't that make you feel woohoo? It makes me excited to think about that. Because all I've got to do is seek his will. Now, some of us are thinking, well, for what though? For everything? I mean, when I wake up in the morning, should I eat granola, Lord, or should I eat sugar frosted flakes? Well, the answer's simple. You don't have to pray about that. Sugar Frosted Flakes. Granola tastes like dirt. You don't want that. You don't want granola. But it's better for you. So you know the answer to that. See, the real question is, don't you think God wants to show you the important things in your life? The things that you and I battle with that keep us up, that keep us in tears, that keep us worried. Don't you think God, the God who created us, wants to show us the right way to go? Of course he does. He does. You see, God's will in the Bible is shown in three ways: providential, the moral, and the personal. C.S. Lewis, who is a Christian writer, he wrote this. He described these three wills this way. You are on a ship going from England to New York. The ship is on its way, and it's going to arrive there no matter what. That represents God's providential will. The ship is going there no matter what. Now, the ship has a lot of people, and God's moral will show how you're to interact with the people on the journey everyone is on together. So his moral will show us how to act with people. And God's personal will show us our role on the ship. What am I supposed to do? Here is my question for you. Out of these three, the most interesting part, the part that we want to know, is the one that we always battle. It's this knowing God's personal will. And so why is it such a battle? Why is it so hard? Here's why. Let's go back to the TV. I want you to think about this for a minute. As the TV screen being our personal will, we want to see that as clearly as possible. And then we have two antennas. The two antennas are called God's providential will and God's moral will. Here is the key to clearly knowing God's personal will. God's personal will is sandwiched between God's providential will and God's moral will. The more we know those two wills, the clearer God's personal will for our lives become. The more you and I know what God is up to, and the more we know how God wants us to live, the more we will know how God wants to use us in our lives, how he wants to work. The problem is we're not too concerned with the other two wills. We just want the picture to be clear. And we want it to be clear right now. You see, as we're starting to wrap down here on our message, most of the time we want to listen to God. I want to follow God completely as long as God wants to do what I want to do. But when his will is different than mine, then I question God. Hey, God, I see my picture. I see your will. Is it clear? Are you sure? Are you sure, God? Is that what you want from me? And that's what we do with God. When we already know what his moral will is, when we already know what his providential will is, and we just have to work at understanding what they are, if we could walk in those, it gets clearer. It gets much clearer of what God's will is for our lives. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do starting tomorrow. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to pray the first thing and say, God, I want to know your will my personal will for my life. I want to know what that is. And then stop for a second and say, God, I want to know what your personal will is for my life. Really? I really want to know it. Even if I don't like it, I want to know it anyway. And the question you have to ask yourself is this. Do you want to know God's will? It's a point in your notes. Are you seeking God's will to consider it or to follow it? Do you want to know God's will because you're seeking what God wants? And you're going to take everything else that you've heard from people. Here's my advice. Here's your advice. Here's God's advice. And then decide which one is the best. Or are you going to seek God's will because you want to follow it? There's a lot of advice out there that sounds good, but it's not very good at all. Look, Les, if you want to make a decision, follow your heart. You got to follow your heart. What stupid advice that is. Listen, here's what you have to know about your heart. Your heart is deceptive. If you find yourself in a place where you're following your heart, and I'm upset with Suzanne, if I'm upset with Suzanne, my heart's not going to tell me what God says. It's going to tell me what the devil says. She don't like you. She don't like you. He doesn't like you. They don't listen to you. They don't want to know. You see, that's what happens. So when someone says, follow your heart, baloney. Don't be doing that. Because if you're angry, your heart will tell you something that's not of God. So when you're seeking God's will, are you considering His will or are you wanting to follow what His will is? Here's how you can know what a person is following. Tell me if you've ever said this. That son of mine, when I talk to him, it's like talking to the wall. Ever said that? Ever thought that? Maybe not you guys, but we've all been there. And maybe you've said that. Or that mom of mine, she just keeps on it and she keeps harping and I'm just wasting my breath telling her how I feel because she won't listen. She keeps trying to open up the Bible and I'm trying to tell her what's in my heart. They feel like it's right. See, when I say something, they do the opposite. Ever know anybody like that? Ever have someone ask for your advice and then they go and do the exact opposite of what you told them to do? And you go, what happened? Where's the communication? What's going on? Aren't you listening? Aren't you seeing the truth? See, here's a point in your notes. It is not that God won't speak. It's that we aren't open to listen. It's not that God's not speaking. I have to tell you that a few years ago, when I was 25, that's a few years ago, I was an executive in a large corporation. Large corporate, hundreds of people, big place. And today, there's 25-year-old executives all over the place. But when I was doing it, it wasn't the case. They were like I am now, and they were executives, but not at 25. Here I am, and I was making things happen. I had suits on all the time. I was making these big decisions, million-dollar decisions, and okay, do this, do that, let's go, and come on, get with it. And I was doing that, and God says, I want you to be in the ministry. And I says, okay, God, I will, but later. Come on, let's go. We got to do this. And then I got a job at another place, and I became the vice president of this company. And come on, let's go. We got to keep punching this, keep going. Andy, I want you to go to full-time ministry for me. I woke up one morning, and I was 45 years old. And I looked in the mirror, and it was so clear to me, because it was like God saying, are you ready yet? And it was like a slap in the face. I said, I think I'm ready. Are you ready yet? Yes, I'm ready. So we began praying, and opportunity came for me to go into ministry. And so we're in it now, and I'm doing this, and I'm being Pastor Andy, and I'm being Vice President Andy at the same time. And let me tell you something, I'm working hours and hours and hours. And I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I need your help. So please help me. And I went to work and I got laid off. And I said, God, that's not what I was trying to say. That's not what I was thinking. That's not what I wanted. So, here's the deal. Sometimes we don't know. We don't know, or we don't understand completely, but God's direction is ever so clear. And we can put things off, or we can do things. Look at what it says in Proverbs 3:6. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now look at what it says in verse 5, the verse just before that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So let's look at it all together in the New International Version. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Friends, today you're watching, you're listening from home. You might be anywhere in the country, in the world, hearing this message. And you might want to say right now at this point in our message, thanks, Andy. I'm glad you told me this, because I don't know God's providential. I barely know how to do anything, right? I mean, Andy, I grew up in a church, and here's what they used to do. They said, don't read your Bible. The pastor will tell you what you need to know. If you grew up that way, this ain't that place, right? Because look, we are all studying together, we're learning together, we're walking through this together, and you can teach me and I can teach you. See, here's where I want you to end up today. And don't forget that this series is so important to hear. Because let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered, is there an HOV lane? Is there an HOV lane to knowing God's will for my life? You know what I mean by an HOV lane? Is there that speed lane to knowing God's will for my life? And there is. There is. And it's really simple. Here's what you have to do. You have to come back next week. Because next week, we're talking about this HOV lane to knowing God's will for our lives. And so today as we close, let me just get you to take a minute. And when you get quiet with God, will you just tell God, God, I trust you. I trust that your will is good for my life. And then would you ask him to reveal it to you? Now you say, that's easy. We could do that right now. I'm game. I'm really game to do that. But that's not all of it. I want you to tell God, I trust you. Will you reveal your will for my life? And then take the second step and say, and God, whatever it is, I'm going to follow it really. I'm really going to do it. Please show me. Hey, in a little while, we're going to be preparing here very quickly for a funeral, for a memorial service, to celebrate the life of somebody. I want to invite you to stay for that if you can, because there's food in the back there too, and I think God has something to say in this message, in the next message here coming up. But it's so important, guys. If you're a person really wanting to know God's will for your life, make it a commitment that I'm going to be here every week. Because the one that I miss may just be the one I need to hear. Next week, how do I go on the HOV to knowing God's will for my life? Maybe you're watching from home today. Maybe you just joined us, or maybe you've been here just for a little bit, and you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Well, we never leave a service without giving you that opportunity to do that. And so I want to invite you to pray with me right now as we come to the close of this message, and ask Jesus to come into your life. And if you do that, I believe that he will, if you do it with all of your heart. Will you repeat after me as we pray? Bow your heads, please. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. As the worship team plays this last song, I'm going to be standing over here by the door. If you need prayer this morning, you come over and we'll pray together, and then we'll close this time that we have together. Thanks for being here.
Who is this King of Glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with his hearing of his softly spoken words? My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of Glory? He's often visiting me. Who is this King of Angels? Oh, blessed Prince of Peace. Revealing things of heaven and all its mysteries. My spirit ever longing for his grace in which to stand. Who is this King of Glory, Son of God and Son of Man? His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Who is this King of Glory with strength and majesty, with wisdom beyond measure, the gracious King of Kings, Lord of earth and heaven, the creator of all things? Who is this King of Glory He's everything to me. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Of all things, He is the King of glory. He's everything to me. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory.